This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorites that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. This is episode 102 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, guys? What's up, Tristan? Hope everyone's doing well. What's going on?
Johnny, good week.
Yeah, man. Hell of a week.
We're just working cruising. Hard, brother.
Staying busy.
Awesome, man. Well, that suits with Hayden Cox coming on today. The man, entrepreneurial genius. He's an innovator, created his own line of surfboards and technology as well. I'm really glad to get him on, man.
Yeah, he's born and raised in Sydney, Monaville?
Yeah, around that area.
You know, and he one of his passions since he was a child was surfing, and he's one of these people that at a very young age, guys, he was able to channel his passion and find better ways to do it. So that sounds pretty, I guess that's really difficult to do.
Oh, it's huge,
especially,
man.
To something like a surfboard that on the outside just looks pretty mundane, is just a regular shape. But what he's done with it, with Hayden Shapes, he's innovated that surfboard to where he's patented the technology that he's put on this board, and it's become a global brand. I know he was based for a while, living in LA, and having done this interview with him in our studio in Sydney was a pretty cool experience. We're excited to bring it to the table.
Well, just to tell you guys the story, Christmas Eve, I actually got Hayden's book as a Christmas present from a client, and I read that book while I was overseas in Vietnam, and it really touched me, and I related a lot to him. And he's the same age as me and Johnny, and he's doing great things, and I just really like the fact that he's a risk taker, and he's set his goals, and he knows his vision, his dream, and I think that he's going to bring you guys a lot of insights for you guys to be inspired and chase your dreams.
What do you feel that was the biggest thing for you, that pop-out fact of why you felt like you related to him and why you wanted to bring him on the show?
Probably the entrepreneurial spirit, the fact that he wanted to do it his own way, and the fact that, but at the same time, he had a big heart in terms of the fact that he was creating something for others, not for himself. So I think the fact that he was very big on actually giving and at the same time creating a product that was just not seen on the market, it really inspired me to think about little different things, because at the end of the day, the world's a big place and a lot of things have already been invented. So to be, innovative and be first and fresh on the scene, that's a huge thing, man.
It's one of the things that drives me. I'm really impressed with innovators, the Elon Musks of the world, the Steve Jobs of the world, because like you said, because of so much progression and so much evolution with technology, it's going to be difficult to create something that the world has never seen.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel the white space in that is finding something that's been used over and over and make things a little easier, find better ways to do it.
Yeah.
And it's always awesome to be shoulder to shoulder and pick the brains of people who have done this. Hayden Cox is one of these people. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think he's probably going to be our first inventor that we've had on the show.
Yeah, it is definitely our first inventor, but I think for those entrepreneurial and business type guys out there,
yeah,
how many people are like on the edge whether they should start a business, whether they should leave their 9-to-5. So I think this will be a great one.
Yep.
Not to maybe push you over the edge, but just give you confidence of the fact that there is hope there.
Just take the leap. I've lost clients in the past, actually, because we've had these chats over and over, and I'm just like, you know, you recognize that they're not happy with what they're doing, and you kind of, I think it's part of my duty to give them the kind of pushing in the right direction of saying, look, man, this shit's going to end. It's not permanent, so you might as well be happy.
Yeah.
And going after something, it takes bold. I forget what the quote is by Geth, but boldness is for the brave. There's magic and beauty in it, so go now.
But the big thing is that everyone fails. Like what we'll see in this episode is that Hayden had a number of failures, and that's the biggest thing in life. Everyone thinks it's like this glory road to the top, but at the end of the day, there is a huge path to success. And I think in terms of talking about adversity, Hayden is going to be a perfect example, and like I said before, a perfect inspiration for people out there that are really on that, you know, on the fence whether to take that leap or not. So I think, yeah, I can't wait to get him on, actually. I'm really glad. He'll be the first author that I'll get to meet in person, who I've read their books, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, guys, without further ado, man, the guy's a writer, he's a business owner, entrepreneur, innovator, so before we hesitate too long, let's bring Hayden Cox.
All right, our special guest is Hayden Cox, who is the founder and designer of Hayden Shape Surfboard and inventor of Future Flex Technology. 3-time Surfboard of the Year in the US and Australia, with a global best-selling surfboard design sold in over 70 countries. He won the USA Surfboard of the Year in 2015 at the SIMA Image Awards, the Australian Surfboard of the Year in 2015 also at the Australian Surf Industry Awards, and the Australian Surfboard of the Year at the Australian Surf Industry Awards as well. Hayden, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on, Tristan.
Hayden, once again, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you coming on the Vision Board podcast. 2017 is amongst us. Could you share a little bit, some insight on what this year is bringing to you and your brand?
Well, for me, it's a big personal year for myself. My wife is pregnant, and we're expecting at the end of May a little girl.
Congrats.
And so my first task is to shape her 3 beautiful surfboards to be up on the wall there, looking really nice. So when we bring her home, she's going to be sort of get the surfing bug that I got when I was 4 years old. So, I mean, that's on the personal side. It's going to be an exciting and amazing year. I'm really looking forward to that. On the business side of things, I feel like this year's about innovation. I feel that a lot of the other surfboard shapers in our industry have been working hard to innovate designs and technologies, and they brought them to market last year. And I feel like the consumer space has really reacted to that and got really excited about buying the technology surfboards. And for us, being getting into that space 10 years ago, this year it's 10 years old, the Future Flex technology, and Hayden Shapes will be 20 years old. So it's a big milestone for us to have 20 years in business and have a brand for 20 years and also a technology for 10 years. So we're going to build upon that, further innovate the technology as well as a few other categories in our space. And for me, that's the most exciting part about what I love to do. I always like to seek out improvement and look at different ways to approach the design and the manufacturing of surfboards or other surf-related products, and challenge myself to figure out a different way to build it.
Hayden, you mentioned innovation a few different times, and that is the key to progression. So my knowledge of surfing and skating is very minimal, but one of my favorite documentaries and movies was Lords of Dogtown.
Yep.
And living in Southern California, I know you guys have lived in Venice. Do you ever, in times of creativity, do you ever take it back to the street and look at what the skaters are doing and look at the skateboards? Because didn't they initially get some of the designs from what was going on in the water?
Yeah,
put on the ground and then vice versa? Or?
Definitely. I feel like a great example of that is a lot of our athletes that ride our boards at Hayden Shapes, Craig Anderson, Creed McTaggart. They do have a lot of friends that skate, and I feel like it's a bit of a sort of a flip-flop in the sense that a lot of the skaters will influence Craig and Creed and their style and how they approach their surfing, and then the skaters actually get really psyched out on what the surfers are doing, and they go on the surf trips and they ride some of our boards, and I love to see the style and the way that we approach riding waves. So I think it's a back and forth sort of influence there. And Tony Hawk is in the book, he's talked about, you know, surfing, and like when he came into the factory and I got to shape him a board, he was talking about like doing his first air on a surfboard and how it's really different to skating, but he can still see in his mind about how he could approach that wave. So I feel like the influence between surf and skate, it's always been a similar parallel, although there's different sectors of our industries and our sports which are very different and very unique. But I feel like a lot of our athletes at Hayden Shapes definitely, you know, hang out with a lot of skaters and are definitely influenced by what they do.
Yeah. What's it like, Hayden, in terms of someone that comes to buy one? Is it everyone gets a customised one? Is there some on the rack and then obviously the pros come in and tell you exactly what they need? How does that process work?
Definitely. Within the surfboard industry, about 10, 15 years ago, some of the major brands in the space at that point in time decided to create models of boards similar to like the car industry.
Okay.
You got the Audi Q range, you got the A range. And that sort of then gets a customer to think in one direction. So whether you want a short board, a performance short board, or a fish, or a hybrid design, or maybe a beginner board for a, you know, like a person learning to surf for the first time, it just gets you in the right direction. So the consumer space has understood that the brands in the surfboard industry these days are releasing models that are going to be positioned in certain parts of the, you know, the categories of boards that you can build. But then it's down to personal taste and preference. You know, being able to go out and demo boards and try before you buy it is something that we focus on a lot with our brand. And, you know, boards that are very versatile, like the Hypno Crypto, the reason why that's an amazing selling board and that why people love it when they go out and ride it is not only because of the technology and what that brings to the feeling of when you're riding the board, but the versatility for that board to surf from like your knee-high waves in your local beach break to take it on your surf trip to Central America or Indonesia and surf some of the best waves in the world. So versatility, I think, across all products these days, using innovative ways to bring that versatility to the consumer experience is definitely what people are looking for in the market today.
How long into your journey with Hayden Shapes did it take you and your brand to get to a point where it wasn't just you with the creativity side? And maybe it still is, but everything from naming the product to the color scheme to the design model and then the distribution and promotion. What was that journey like?
Yeah, very interesting journey, because I feel like personally I'm not a very artistic person in the sense of like creative art. I don't think I'm that type of person. So I've always seeked and looked to collaborate with different people, whether they be artists or, you know, designers or just other people who inspire me, to get ideas and to work with them and understand how to bring those ideas back into what makes sense with a surfboard.
Yeah.
I feel like I enjoy that process. Maybe not the creation of the art and that freeform creative art side of things. So I have, from a young age, always collaborated with different local artists. Like Rad Dam was a guy from Mona Vale that I brought on, and he was probably the first artist that I collaborated with as a surfboard brand. And then more recently, my wife Danielle, she's, you know, the brand and creative director of Hayden Shapes, and her creativity is definitely shines through in the brand today. And it's the projects and the ideas and the way that she has an approach to those projects and the way that she challenges me to improve and look at different ways to build the board and incorporate some of her creative ideas into like the surfboard is like how we bounce back and forth together, and that's kind of, you know, definitely at the heartbeat of the brand today. So I've always really enjoyed that process, collaborating with people, learning, and I feel like that's the biggest thing that I like to take from collaborations is the learning process and improving what I can do.
Yeah, let's talk about Danielle a bit, because like when I'm reading the book, obviously at the start of the book, you've had a few issues with partners and people thinking that they own more than they do.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Danielle comes into the picture and it just seems that, with respect, the business got taken to another level.
Sure did.
Yeah,
definitely.
Can you talk about that partnership? And obviously you have to see each other both as a relationship and as business partners. Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. When I was younger, I was learning. And this whole process, you know, even today, I'm still learning, but it's been learning on the go and learning from my mistakes and lessons, and learning also from the wins, and you've got to not make the same mistake twice. So over the years, when I had tried out different things, you know, brought people into the business in terms of working with them, and then they feeling like they have some sort of sense of ownership, or a partnership that I had with a retail store when I was a lot younger in Mona Vale, that didn't work out. I learned from those mistakes and then was able to kind of understand how to enter the negotiation with someone and be a lot more communicative up front.
Yeah.
And really set the boundaries of that sort of relationship from the outset. When it comes to Danielle and myself, I think as two individuals, we just have a similar mindset. We both love to challenge ourselves. We tend to take on a lot more than what we probably can achieve, but then we figure out a way to make it happen, and we do challenge ourselves and push ourselves from that standpoint. But I feel like, as you know, a couple, we've always just had a great understanding, and we've always communicated a lot, and that's sort of been something that's helped us even understand our own personal relationships and been able to communicate and learn from each other, because we've had to be from the outset. And I do remember the New Year's Eve that I was on the hill at Bondi, and we had sort of had a year of the distribution, so this was probably 2012, and I said to Danny, well, I've been away for 6 months of this year, we barely get to see each other. You're extremely creative with what you do, and I feel like if we both joined 10 forces and we worked in the business together, we could, one, travel together, we could go, let's move to America and live out a dream that Danny had to go move to America, and let's build the brand internationally. And Danny saw that as a challenge, and from that moment it was a partnership. It didn't really need to be talked about further, and it was just a straight understanding that we're going to go do this together, and we've really enjoyed that process, and we've still got a long way to go. So, I mean, it's I feel like when it's because we communicate so closely together as a husband and wife team, it's been a lot easier just because we talk about it. When you're working with external partnerships or external stakeholders, I feel like you definitely need to communicate or sort of entry plans, like understand the full sort of relationship that you're going to have, and also understand the exit plans, which is really important. Yeah.
Communication is definitely key on both personal relationships, business, and then not to mention combining those two. So that was an awesome story sharing with us, like living out the dream aspect, because you had to be on board and Danielle had to be on board, and then you made it happen. What I'm really interested in, starting a few different businesses, and a lot of our fans are younger coaches and entrepreneurs like Tristan aforementioned, is that first systematic, if you could take it back to that first year. So let's role play for a second, and you haven't started Hayden Shapes yet. The next day happens, you're going to start from that day. Where technology has evolved right now with social media, where we can reach out to literally anyone and connect with them, how would you start a business? No matter what industry, what would like step 1, 2, and 3 look like for you if you were starting a business today?
Well, for me, I feel like the foundation of everything is why. Why do you even want to start a business? Because starting a business, you can go and open up a website, you can register your business, you can get basically the foundations of the business set up in a day. It's the reason of why are you going to turn up every single day and deal with the stresses and the risks and all the challenges that you are going to face, not for just 6 months, not for a year, for 10 years, 15, 20 years. And as the business and the brand grows of whatever you're sort of getting involved with, those risks and challenges just get bigger and bigger. Right. And yes, your experience improves and you do get better at handling those situations, but there's never going to be a day where you get to sit back and just chill. Business isn't like that. But that's the exciting part about it, and that's why I still probably do it, because I am challenged every single day more than if I was probably working just one role for someone else. So I feel like the reason why you want to start and what are you going to do that you really care enough about that you want to turn up to work and deal with all that risk and that stress.
How much has yours changed since the start, your why? And could you share what that intent was and is with your brand?
I mean, for myself, surfboards combine a lot of things that I personally am interested in. I don't do anything that I'm not interested in. It might frustrate the hell out of my parents when I was growing up. It probably frustrates the hell out of my wife. But if I am interested in something, I'll learn about it, I'll research it, I'll do it. It doesn't matter. I'll be up at 3 a.m., I'll get up there and I'll go do it. If I don't want to do it, you've got to pull teeth for me to get to do it. So, I mean, for myself, I love technology. I love designing things. I love surfing. And the surfboard sits between all of that. So for myself, I get to put all my passion into this product and I get to experience the product at the same time with something that I, as a hobby, as I was growing up, so going out and surfing is something that I really enjoy doing. And so today, that whole cycle of product innovation, development, testing, and then I am also personally passionate about business, and I do really enjoy being in business and learning about business, because I feel like I've never been formally trained, so I have a lot to learn, and I've got a lot to learn from other people. And that's probably a big reason why I wanted to, you know, write a book at a point in my career where I've still got probably another 20, 30 years to go. It was about sort of talking about the stories, and so other people who are young and in business or have been through this before can have a read and sort of reflect, or can sort of get inspired to go out and sort of chase their dreams and their passions and maybe start a business or work in another business in a role that they can help make a difference to that business.
Very powerful.
Yeah. Where do you surf at the moment?
I surf mostly around Wild Beach and Palm Beach. Yeah. That's where I'm living. Mona Vale a bit. And then in LA, I do like to go up around Malibu and sort of find little nooks and crannies up around Malibu.
Is Lower Trestle still open? Could you still get down to San Onofre?
Yeah, I when I go down and visit some of the retailers.
Early
and
Pro-Am, is that still down there?
I'm definitely not surfing any Pro-Ams or any contests. I'm generally trying to run away from a crowd and find a wave that's a little bit more...
Have you seen the Pro-Am down there, though? Have you ever gone down there when...
Yeah, I enjoy going to the contest. I feel like in a contest format, the surfers are just performing at the highest level that people are surfing today in a set time frame. Like, they've got 20 or 30 minutes to go out there and catch and be judged on two waves. And the moves and the way that they... The consistency of how they approach that in the heat is just amazing to watch. Like, it is very different to a lot of our athletes who are free surfers, who are more like producing music where they, you know, shoot for days and weeks and years on end to create the most, you know, stylized and interesting video parts and photography sort of sections in magazines. So two very different ends of the spectrum. And on the contest side of things, I'm just amazed at how consistent these surfers have become.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to watch. And the Quicksilver Pro is kicking off, you know, in mid-March. So the Australian WSL contest leg is actually going to be really condensed, three back-to-back contests, you know, starting up on the Gold Coast, going down to Bells, and I think goes to WA and then Bells, but those three locations, you're going to see some amazing surfing to kick off 2017.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
My buddies and I used to travel down from Long Beach to watch the Pro-Am at Lower Trestles, just north of San Diego. And I think it was 2009. It's the first time I met Kelly. And I remember, I just shook his hand. And I remember the energy that this guy walked with. And you kind of meet a person like Slater and you're like, oh, I get it. In your journey, maybe it was him, maybe it's somebody else. Was there ever a point when you're in a business meeting or you're selling something or you're on a book tour where you meet somebody and it hits you like, holy crap, I'm like brushing shoulders with this dude. We're on the same page. And if you do have a story, could you share one with us, please?
Personally, I'm not too dazzled by like celebrities and famous people and people like that. I'm inspired by them, though. You know what I mean? So I do look at people like Kelly Slater and how he approaches the wave, and I'll analyze like how he looks on his board and what that board might be doing. And it's even though I don't shape boards for him, I can still learn from how he and thinks and from my perspective of watching through the computer screen and how he surfs on a heat or his video parts. So, I mean, I kind of tend to kind of sit afar and sort of, you know, sit back and watch, you know, through just reading or looking at pictures or video parts. I mean, definitely Jim Jannard was definitely someone who I interviewed in the book where I sat back and I was like, oh my God, I'm having a chat with Jim Jannard. He's probably hasn't done a public interview ever. And I was able to sit down with him and talk candidly about his journey in business. And his part in the book summarizes a 2-hour chat that I had with him. And that was definitely a pinch yourself moment for myself where, I mean, that guy's innovated. He holds 700 patents. He's changed two industries from the eyewear industry to the cinematic sort of film production industry and how both those industries approach what they do. And for me, that was something for me to get inspired by. And every time I read his section in the book, I get fired up to go and think, oh, I've got to do this with surfboards again. And I've got to, you know, keep sort of going down that path of innovation and help push the surfboard industry to that next level.
Yeah, what about someone like Tom Carroll? Because his name mentioned plenty of times in the book.
Yeah, Tom is a great friend of mine. And I love Tom because he's so passionate about surfboards and he's very good at articulating what a board is feeling for him underneath his feet and in what types of waves.
Mm.
And so for myself, he's been a mentor of mine where he's been able to help me and coach me through like that understanding of like the feeling of riding a board and what that might translate to design in the surfboard. And he was the first person to ever ride the FutureFlex or back then the FiberFlex technology. And that was exciting to be able to innovate and design a technology, but have Tom Carroll as the person who was going out and testing it. And I got to jump on boards as well after he had a ride and we'd combine our feedback. And today, Tom and I are good friends and we talk about design. He has a stand-up paddleboard range, Tom Carroll's SUP. And, you know, I help him out on design. And, you know, when he rides some of our boards, because he rides everyone's boards, he gives his feedback and I love to chat to him about, you know, feedback and surfing and life in general, really. So, but I do remember when I was about 14 years old and I went down to Newport Beach, where Tom's from, in Sydney's Northern Beaches, and I joined the Board Riders Club, and Tom Carroll was doing the sign up there, and I paid my $50 for the year, and I got the receipt, and it said signed by Tom Carroll, and I was like, oh, I got my first signature. And it was on the Board Riders receipt. So I that was probably when I was about 14 years old. I was definitely sort of influenced and looked up to Tom as like a surfer and a world champion surfer and the way he approaches surfing.
How do you feel when you see people using your boards, like out on the beach?
That's the best thing ever, is when you're traveling around the world and you might be in the random most beach that you could never think that there'll be one of your boards, and someone's out there riding one of your boards and having the best time. And that's something really cool. When I do get to travel and go out to all the different countries around the world that surf our boards and have surf and surfers out there riding and people traveling, that's that when I hear feedback and people having positive experiences riding the boards, and they tell you stories about their best wave or their, this trip that they got one of your boards and they had the best time on that trip. That's the feedback which, you know, obviously really motivates you to kind of, you know, go through the criticism and that process of getting better at what you do and trying to design the best surfboards out there.
Yeah. Where have you found most people use the boards? Is it Australia?
Australia and America are two very strong markets, but we have really strong, I mean, markets like Israel.
Asia as well?
Yeah, we've got lots of distribution across Asia. You know, Hong Kong, you've got boards of people surfing over in China now. And
yeah, nice.
You have people all over the surf. Like, Japan is a strong market and one that I have focused on from a young age, and probably where I learnt a lot of, you know, sort of my experiences in international distribution was because I went to Japan when I was very young and sort of learnt about all the ins and outs of sort of importing and exporting products and going over to a market and selling your brand and getting your brand up and running in a different country with a different language. So, I mean, I've always really loved the travel that's gone along with the business. I think travel is associated with surfing and the search for waves and finding new spots and being able to sort of experience new cultures. And I think that's one of the best things that can come about from, you know, being passionate about your business and the products that you're selling, is that you can go international these days. You can go to the most random countries and sort of start your business up and start up distribution and sell your product in those countries too. They're all looking at it on social media. So, you know, expanding and getting a global audience in terms of your distribution is saying a smart way to scale up what you, all the energy that you're putting in and getting a better return on what you put in.
Yeah.
With all of your experience, your ups and downs in business, what you've learned, sticking to just the business aspect of it, all around the internet you'll find what I do, my good days. People are asked a lot, you know, advice on being positive. Could you share with us what happens when, you know, when you have those bad days? Somebody like yourself who've been through it, overcame it, anyone listening at home, some advice when those bad days do pop up in business. Do you have kind of like a procedure that you go through, or do, you know, some sort of like ritual that helps you through these dark times? And if you do, could you share some insight?
I mean, for myself, today I've got my wife to lean on, and Danielle is a huge support to me on those bad days. When I'm dealing with stressful situations, whether they be financial or staff related or just pure manufacturing issues that you may have, I'm able to talk to Danny and sort of discuss it completely openly and get the support from Danny. Before, you know, I was working with Danny in the business, and before we met, I turned to surfing a lot to sort of remove myself from being in that moment of that stress and that negativity. And I think that's one of the beauties of going out and surfing, is that you live in the now when you do get up and ride a wave. And that's very cliche sounding, and I don't like to be like that, but when you do paddle in and you stand up on a wave, your instinct takes over, and that's when you start riding and just surfing and not thinking about all the stress going on. So going out and surfing is a great way for myself personally to relieve that sort of stress. And I think exercise is another great one. You know, people go to gyms, they go running, they cycle, you know, stand up paddleboarding. Any, you know, physical activity can keep your mind occupied and keep you away from that. But definitely friends and family, having great sort of open communication with them. It's your support network, and you need a great support network, because even when the times and you get these amazing times, like even last year when we won Surfboard of the Year, it was one of our most challenging years to be in business. So there was amazing highs, but there was also a lot of challenges that came along with that. So one minute you're accepting an award, and then the next day you're dealing with like one of the most challenging situations in your business career. And I think that's, you know, the thing you need to be honest with yourself about of why you want to be in business, that you want need to accept that those moments are going to happen. There's not going to just be these high times that you get to enjoy. Along with the high times, you are going to still get the challenges, and you're still going to have to be pushing yourself to deal with all those challenges.
Yeah, let's stay in actually in terms of adversity and things like that, because you know, obviously your book's New Way Vision, you're on the Vision Board podcast. The book starts with you on the floor. You've fallen off a ladder in your brand new warehouse.
Yep.
You're 22 years old. Like, what was going through your head all the way back then when, you know, you're injured, you don't have much money left, and you've got this passion? Just talk to us about that.
I mean, it was the why. It was in my head. Why the hell am I doing this? And it didn't take me long to have a cry and sort of, you know, have a throbbing ankle that I'd sprained, and to realise I'm like, well, I'm doing this because this is what I want to do.
Mm.
I mean, it's not because my mum told me to go and go to university. It's I chose my own path that I really wanted to do. And it wasn't the easiest path to choose. I hadn't had any formal training from any other surfboard shapers. I hadn't worked in another business and learnt the ins and outs and understood start to finish what the business was going to be about. I was like, I want to build surfboards and this is what I'm doing. I'll figure it out along the way. I didn't even know how to build a surfboard start to finish when I opened my first factory. I figured that out in the first 2 weeks and then employed someone and trained them. And I probably learnt more about how to build a board and laminate a board in the first 2 weeks because I was training someone than I had ever known in the past. So the why was the big reason where when I was lying there, I was like, oh, why am I doing this? But then it was a simple answer. It's because I love it. I want to be challenged and I want to do this. So I got myself up, hobbled around and didn't really put the roof of the shaking bay ever up properly, but that was part of the character of the factory. I left that alone. I was like, I'm not getting up on that ladder again. So fingers crossed I don't fall off any more ladders in the near future.
Right. So with the book, we hear different stories when people get them published. Some people make it a point to sit down for the year and write one. Some people collect that data throughout the year or years as a journal, and then it gets published as a book. Was this how did this work out for you? And was it one of these things that got published right away? Did you get any no's? And then some advice on that process.
Yeah, for myself, it was an interesting process because the last day of our honeymoon, Danny and I were in Tahiti, and it was like the last half of the day, and we're like, okay, we've enjoyed 5 days of doing nothing, reading a lot of books, and we're like, well, what do we want to achieve? Like, what are the things, our goals, personal goals that we wanted to do? And we both kind of sat there and talked about our each individual goals, and a book was one of those. And we weren't too sure exactly what type of book it was going to be, but we were thinking about a book and sort of challenging ourselves to learn about that process and to work on a different product. It's completely different to a surfboard. So we're going to learn both about that book process. And so we approached a couple of different publishers, and Simon & Schuster was one of the publishers that we got a meeting with. And we went in there and presented to them and sort of had our ideas and walked out of the meeting with a completely different idea. And then we went away and sort of started to build up on that process, which not ever have written a book before was a daunting task, but it started and you just got to start. Started with like thinking about, okay, well, what is the timeline going to be? What are the chapters about that are going to be? How are we going to sort of make this relatable to all types of people out there?
Yeah.
How
long did it take to actually go from
About a year to a year and a half, yeah. I mean, you kind of get to the last chapter and then you're like, well, that first chapter sucks now, so let's go and rewrite that. And I feel like you get to a point where it's like you could keep going and going, but you have to sign it off, and there is a deadline when you're working with publishing. But I was extremely happy with the final product, you know, being able to design the obviously the layout of the whole book and the pictures and just the how it all came together. It was a fun process, you know, it was a challenging process, and I definitely, probably Danielle had to pull teeth plenty of times to get me out of the shaping bay and to really knuckle down and get this project finished. But in hindsight, it was an amazing thing that I got to learn about and something that I'm really grateful for.
To talk about the book just before we move on.
I was going to talk about it.
At the end of each chapter, you've got those summaries which I really, really liked.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that?
Probably Danielle's. Most great ideas are Danielle's ideas, but I definitely challenge her ideas and come up with my own ideas too. But it was Danielle's idea, and I felt like it was great because that's how I learned a lot at school, and that's how I learned a lot is the summaries of like what's going on. Sometimes you don't always have the time to reread and then highlight again and go through that. So it's nice to be able to go, okay, well, you know, when we're talking about innovation, what are some of the key things to take away from that chapter? And it also helped us understand, like, the stories and the information, because it's all through storytelling that we're kind of communicating and talking about these different topics in business. Mm. Is like, is the stories in that chapter actually relevant? Do they make any sense? So we actually removed a lot of, you know, text out of the book because it actually didn't really have any relevance necessarily that people could take away from. Great stories, but probably just for my mates and family to chat about. So
who would you say for our people listening at home, who would you say the book is for? Who would best suit reading this?
I reckon anyone who's interested in sort of getting motivated about something that they're passionate about, you know, whether they're working for someone else or they want to start their own business, I think it can appeal to both those people. And an age demographic probably would definitely suit younger people in business, but young people in business can range from being, you know, 15 years old, even younger, to people who are in their 40s wanting to go out and start businesses. So I think it's a broad sort of diverse market and audience that could read the book. It's a very relatable book through storytelling. It's not a how-to of like, this is your guide to success, because I still don't feel like I've succeeded in the surfboard industry of figuring it all out.
Yeah.
I've got plenty more years to work in that industry, and I'm excited about that. So, I mean, it's it could also appeal to the guys who have gone out there and had amazing companies and brands and sort of, you know, are in their later parts of their career and want to read back and go, oh, I remember all the stories of when I was, you know, learning those lessons and doing those kinds of things. So, I mean, it's got, you can take away from it different things for what you're wanting to get out of the book. And I'm just excited about seeing innovation within all types of business and people starting businesses.
Guys, we hope you're enjoying the episode with Hayden Cox. Be sure to continue to tune into the Vision World podcast. Up ahead in the coming weeks, we've got big wave legend Laird Hamilton. We've got 7-time women's world surfing champion and our own Lane Beachley. So be sure to subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud and Stitcher. And on iTunes, if you could leave us a 5-star review, that would be very appreciated. Now back to the show.
Yeah. We talk about books, obviously you've written a book. You spoke about reading books before, inspirations.
Yep.
Can you share with us maybe some of the books that you use to continue to upskill yourself?
Yeah, I think I read a lot online, and I look at other brands of what they're doing in terms of sort of just seeing how they operate within their industries. A book that I've read, though, that I feel like really impacted myself was Mind Power. It was, I read that, it's a short book and it's a very simple book to read, but it's about, you know, training and working with your mind to control it and to think positively about all your situations. And I was reading that book when I designed a technology. And I feel like that has set the foundations for me to approach any part of the business and any part of my life to kind of approach the positive sides of what you've got going on and control your mind to be in the now and, you know, just kind of push yourself to get to that next level.
Mm. Just with that technology, how much has it changed over the last 10 years? Is it still the original?
It's has changed because our material set, we've been able to improve on different components of the board.
Yep.
But the concept hasn't changed in terms of being a parabolic carbon fiber rail.
Yeah. Can you still patent it and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's patented for another 10 years. Oh, you get 20 years on a patent.
Oh, that's cool.
I got the renewal notice the other day and it expires in 2027, which when I first got it in 2007, I was like, oh, that's freaking in the future by miles. And now we're like, shit, we're 10 years along and we got 10 years to go on this. So, I mean, I got to whip my ass in the gear and, you know, keep innovating to the next thing. So, I mean, yeah, patents are an interesting, you know, process to learn about. And I feel like I talk about in the book, you know, it's an insurance policy that you never want to lean on. If you can be commercially successful and dominate a market with just commercial sort of arrangements, it's much better than sort of going to court and fighting patent battles and distracting you from the things that you probably love to do. And for myself, I've learned a lot about patents and I still have a lot to go and learn about with them. But I try not to get too bogged down in those sides of things. And I got great advice from my patent attorney, Lee Pippard, who always told me to focus on the commercial side of the business and just be the best in the industry at what we do with our idea. And that will carry us forward.
Do you ever find yourself looking at other industries or getting caught up looking at the world differently because of the success you've had with Hayden Shapes in terms of seeing an industry, seeing a product, and say, maybe you turn to Danielle, like, man, I think we could do things more efficiently there, or I wonder if we should tap into that. And if so, share a story, please.
I definitely think you naturally, because you're always looking at improving what you're currently doing, you naturally look at a lot of things and go, oh, I could work on improvements there. Well, one lesson I learned when I was a lot younger was to stay focused on the core product and the core part of your business, and have that so down pat before you start expanding and taking on too much. I personally feel that I still have a long way to go to achieve all the things that customers will see with the product of our business, of what we do with the boards, but also in the back end of the business of what I like to sort of run and operate as a business. So, you can get distracted and you see those like opportunities, like, oh, what about this idea and what about that idea? And they're exciting to talk about, but when it comes to, you know, stepping over the line and actually committing to doing something like that, that's a huge commitment. And I know that I haven't delivered on my commitment within surfboards yet, so I'm not going to really take on too many other projects. So I had a long way to go within surfboards, and, you know, a lot more to learn, a lot more to achieve. So
that's why Elon Musk is so fascinating. The guy is in aerospace, the Hyperloop, the energy. When you talk about people inspire you, I'm pretty sure he's probably on your list.
Yeah, I read Elon's book, and
he must be an alien. I think Elon's from a different world for sure.
I finished that book, and I was like, I'm friggin' lazy.
Yeah,
I don't work hard enough.
Why are you? You know what? We haven't done anything. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Guys, listen. If you really want to feel shitty about yourself, read Elon Musk's book.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
super inspiring, though.
100%. But I think there's something in the back of his mind where all three of those businesses that he's worked on come together, and they're one. So I think in his mind, he doesn't see them as three separate ventures. Exactly. They're actually the same venture, because he's thinking about the top of the umbrella, and those three businesses sit at the bottom where they branch out, but they come together in this vision that he has.
Yeah.
And that's kind of exciting. You know, for myself, I have a technology and I have Hayden Shapes, and, you know, they're parts of two businesses that come together of a vision that I have within surfboards. His vision is a lot broader than my vision. Mine's very contained to surfboards, but he's definitely inspiring. And I mean, we have a factory in El Segundo and our office is there, and that's where he started, you know, Tesla and SpaceX, and it's cool. I actually, after I read the book, I drove out and it's just around the corner, five minutes down the road. I had to go see the SpaceX building just to go, oh, imagine one day if we're building surfboards to that level.
Right.
Casually. And that's what inspires me. It's like, you know, we can approach building surfboards to that level. And there was one story in his book where he was talking to one of his engineers about designing a part, and I think NASA had developed the part for $10 million.
Yep. Wow.
And he goes, you got to do it for $10,000. And 8 months later, the engineer came back and said, I've done it for $15,000.
Wow.
You mentioned patents too earlier. He doesn't patent any of his stuff. Did you know that?
No, and that's the power
of... They're only open, yeah.
That's the power of commercialization, of being the best and running the best company, and bringing your product and doing the best as a company and a brand yourself to bring your products to market the best. The power of that outweighs patents, hands down.
So he said, yeah, right? So correct me if I'm wrong, but his philosophy is, hey, inventors out there, hey innovators, here's what I've already done. Feel free to evolve and innovate on this.
And he'll probably buy them and they'll come work for him if they do a better job than him. And for him, he sees that as benefiting him, because that's someone who's going to achieve his end dream faster and quicker than by him keeping a closed shop and then not achieving those goals. If anyone out there can achieve that goal for him, he'll work with them and collaborate with them, I'm sure. So that's the interesting way to think about patents, think about protecting ideas. I mean, I just love building surfboards. I love challenging myself, my team, and building boards to the best that we can as our brand. And if another brand goes out there and designs and develops the technology and brings it to market and it's an amazing technology, that only motivates me. I don't feel threatened by that. It just motivates me to know that I can actually go and improve what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost sets the bar higher. So I'm like, well, hell yeah, I can obviously do something better. I better get to work now.
Do you ever gauge on that time when you fell off the ladder to right now, and the distance from the fall to now, what you've created in your life, what's happening, how you feel about yourself, then from right now to that equal distance away? And possibilities and what you can achieve.
I haven't thought that, but that's scary. I don't have a vision that I'm going to do anything but what I've been doing for the last 20 years. I've enjoyed it so much. I haven't quite thought 20 years down there. Well, no, it's probably 10 years, 15
years. Because if you double up on that momentum,
yeah,
the momentum that you've created and leverage off of that to that, it's going to be an exciting 10 years for Ian Cox and Danielle.
Yeah, it is definitely exciting. I feel like I have an onus to our customers and the people who love our brand to always sort of continue down the path of innovating and becoming better and releasing products. So I have, they trust me with the boards and designing and developing really, really good boards, and that trust motivates me to obviously keep improving myself. So yeah, 20 years time, let's see what we can, where we can get and what we can do.
Definitely. Hayden, I love to ask people about their daily habits.
Yep.
Not to copy them, but just to get an insight on what works for them and then give an idea of maybe some things that we can try for ourselves. Are you a very structured, unstructured kind of day in terms of daily rituals? Do you have any?
Probably pretty unstructured due to, I used to be probably a lot more structured when I was working in Monavale, had a small team, 4 staff, and we were, I was surfing every day at 11 o'clock. I'd turn up to work at 7:30, and a very structured sort of role. Now that we're selling boards all across the globe, there's different time zones, and I've had to have a lot more relaxed and free-form kind of flow of, like, dealing with things when they need to be dealt with. So today's life is definitely a lot more different to 10 years ago. And I think one of my main rituals is finding those moments in the day to have that quality personal time to be able to sort of wind back from where you get caught up in, like, your mind racing and sort of you sort of forget about, you know, other people and everything around you, and where you sort of kind of get a little bit one-track minded. I tend to do that a lot. So being able to try and just sort of step back a little bit and sort of let yourself a bit of breathing space and have those moments where you don't wake up and just want to go, go, go all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that I try and look for every day. I don't always achieve it, but I think that's important with how busy, life is today, with all the different time zones and all the different things that are happening within our lives. So, there's no set format for that. And it's just surf when the waves are good, work when the work needs to be done, and find the time to hang out with the family and enjoy that time as much as possible.
I was chatting with a 74-year-old gentleman a few weeks ago, and he really, really inspired me because he's really fit, he's really tuned in, motivated, runs a business, coaches, travels. And through interviewing him, he's got to this point because of recovery. He was talking about things he was doing in his 30s, meditation practices, isolation tanks, and things like that. In terms of like how busy your schedule is, everything you have on your table, and goals that you want to do you have a discipline? Maybe it's a spiritual practice, maybe it's just a meditation to recover or just detach from everything?
I think working on your personal lives is that recovery process for myself, because there's so much that goes on in the business, and you're accountable to all your staff and all the external stakeholders of your business and the people that we employ and influence. Having to be able to step back and then focus on your personal lives for a couple of moments each day is something that I feel like is the recovery process for myself, where I feel like there's a bit of a balance. And that's, I think, the most important thing, is finding that balance within your relationships, with the business and the work-life balance. And just enjoying that balance. Mm-hmm. I think it's not necessarily about, I need to have, 9 hours work today or 8 hours work today, and I need to have 5 hours with the family and sectioning it off like that. It's like having that quality time where you do get to, you're not thinking about how long it was, but it was just a great experience. And I think that's what the world is starting to recognize and really appreciate across all parts of what we do, is the experiences that you can have. And there's a lot of experience-driven sort of mentality that goes into business today, and how to connect with your consumers through experiences. So I think that's a big thing in our brand that we try and always maintain, because I feel like that's how I built my brand, was based on those one-on-one experiences that I was having with the surfers coming in and ordering our boards. So always try to continue that, and I feel like making sure that your experience in all parts of your life across that balance is really important.
Personality time.
Hayden Cox, this is a part of the vision board where we'll just shoot a couple, 2 to 3 personality questions that we like asking most of our guests. Other than, I think we had one guest recently who wouldn't answer one of them, so I can't say all of our guests because he didn't give us what we wanted. So I'll get this started. Hayden Cox, if 3 of your best friends were sitting at this table and you weren't here, what would they say about you?
Ooh, that's
there's one here.
I'm very loyal. I'm poor at communication. I'm very exciting. I get excited very easily, and I froth out way too much about the things I love to froth out about. So yeah, don't answer enough text, but when I'm hanging out with them, I'm definitely frothed out, always loving what we're doing.
Awesome. Okay, next one. When you're growing up, what posters did you have on your wall?
A lot of girls in bikinis. There's plenty of photos of that. I went through a phase of collecting posters and sticking them up on my wall. It didn't matter what poster it was. So I think I had like a Save Water poster up, and I had a girl in a bikini. And I had.
Did you have Pam Anderson?
I definitely had Pam Anderson.
Carmen Electra, probably.
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy.
Alicia Silverstone.
Clueless.
Definitely had a few crushes when I was growing up on lots of
Alyssa Milano.
Different girls.
This is a different episode.
a lot of punk rock posters. You know, yeah. The covers from all the CDs that you pull out and you stick up on your wall. I was definitely a poster guy, stuck up over everywhere. Danny's got a pretty funny photo. If on a podcast you could display a photo, this would stitch me up.
She actually has the photo.
Yeah, it's me sitting there as a teenager.
Yeah, if you can bring that one up, it's all good.
And then back to today. Now, Hayden Cox, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party.
Yep.
You've got 5 invites.
Yep.
Now, the only rules, no family or friends.
Oh, wow.
But it can be anyone, dead or alive. Who are you inviting?
I'd invite Kelly Slater, one, just because he's amazing. I would actually invite Jim Jannard, because the time I get to hang out with him is interesting. I'd probably invite Elon Musk as well, just to see how him and Jim get along. And I've got 2 more. Oh, geez.
Seems like you're going to try and convince Kelly to use your boys. The other 2 boys to...
Have Elon innovate on it.
Kurt Cobain. I'm definitely a Nirvana fan. I'd love to learn more about his life and his experiences. And
really happened.
One more. I'll probably bring back my grandfather.
Awesome.
Herbert, yeah.
Cool. Did you ever meet him? Or?
Yeah, I did. Went fishing with him a lot, and he found out a lot of his stories were all lies, but... he told great stories, and he was actually quite a successful businessman, and has done a lot of fun things, and he's told me a lot of those stories over the years, and he gets along with anyone, so I think he'd keep the chatter going.
Is that where the entrepreneurial traits have rolled down from, or?
Potentially down through that side.
Your mum as well was?
My mum developed homes, and she's super active. She's like the Energizer Bunny. I reckon she should be on that ad, because, she's crazy with her energy levels. But yeah, definitely. I mean, hearing and growing up around that environment meant that it was kind of normal. I heard stories about what my grandpa would do, and seeing my mum just, you know, attack everything that she does with such a high level of energy has always motivated me. And I feel like there's a strong stubbornness that comes through our family. And that stubbornness led me to not listening to anyone else and doing what I wanted to do. Excellent. So I think having a bit of stubbornness about yourself is pretty important for business.
Definitely.
Andy. We really appreciate your time. And before we let you go, Hayden, could you let all of our listeners know where they could check Hayden Shapes out and continually follow you on your mission and journey on socials?
Definitely. So on Instagram is strong, and Facebook at Hayden Shapes or Hayden Shapes Surfboards on Facebook. I mean, the book's New Wave Vision, and you can get it from Book Depository, shipping worldwide for free. I think it's $33 Aussie. And as you said, it's an easy read. It's stories. It's fun. It's kind of my take on my experiences, and I love learning from other people, so hopefully people can have a read and enjoy it and sort of take that into what they're doing and sort of push themselves to enjoy what they're doing and push themselves to keep progressing and innovating in the future.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Hayden, thanks so much. This is kind of a bucket list of mine. I've never had someone's book that I've read and then they've just come up and had a nice chat in person.
Yeah, this is awesome. I've enjoyed
it. Time flew, man. We really appreciate it. It was fun.
We appreciate you coming in. We wish you the best for 2017, my man.
Definitely. And next time we'll do the workout interview.
I like that. Yeah. I'll take you up on that.
Yeah,
for sure.
We teach you to work out. You can teach us to surf.
There we go. Sounds good.
Awesome, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
And guys, that was Hayden Cox. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Johnny.
Yeah, man, I appreciate for Tristan. You brought this guy to us. You brought him to the table. You heard him. Did you know about him before you got the book?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So think about where we are in society, that you read somebody's book and you reach out to them, and not only do you get a response, but you could bring them into your space and now interview them, learn from them, and share with the world. So that was an awesome experience, Tristan.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. And the fact that, in today's world, you got Gary Vee and Grant and everyone just splashed in front of you every single day. It was really good to find someone that I just didn't know too much about. And really, like for me, it was a blank canvas. So from the start, it was just very intriguing to hear his story, get some different advice, because everyone does business differently, do you know what I mean? So it was fresh and local boy too. I love, in today's day and age, with Australia's population, we've got 20 million compared to America's, 260 or something?
I think 350 million.
So it's good to see an Aussie actually on the world stage doing some great things. So it was just an awesome experience. Like I said, first author that I've ever met in person that I've read their book. So great experience, and I'm glad I shared it with you, man.
Definitely, and it was really awesome to see the meshing and the synergy between Hayden and his partner. She was in the studio with us. They're expecting the mindset of both of them working together, getting into the stories of those ups and downs and the importance of supporting each other. And sometimes I think it's human nature to want to quit when the brakes are beating you. But if you could focus on the purpose and why you started, especially if you have a partner to get through those bad times, those dark times per se, that bond becomes tighter and stronger, pretty much unbreakable. And that's what you see with Hayden and his partner. Danielle?
Yeah, Danielle, man. So it was good to see. She's a marketing genius as well. As we talked about in the episode, she helped Hayden really bring his game to the next level. And it's refreshing to see that a couple can actually interact both on a personal and a business level and do it so well. So hats off to them. Good luck with the baby coming up, guys. And, I'm sure that there'll be part two with Hayden Cox, because the guy's just an innovator and he's doing magnificent things around the world.
Yeah, like we were saying off air, the guy's best days are in front of him. You could tell he's been in the game for a long time, started this passion project in his mid-teens. He's in his early to mid-30s now. And I still, just being around him, sharing the space, seeing the energy and the zest he has for his passion, the best days are still in front of him for sure.
Definitely, guys. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. Just remember to subscribe to the show via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Coming in up next on the podcast on Wednesday, we've got Skinny Vinny, Vince Del Monte. He's the skinny guy savior, a big fitness guy over in America, and also on the business world as well. So he's going to bring plenty of knowledge. So for you business guys out there, business girls too, if you want some more advice, I think Vinny's going to drop some absolute bombs on Wednesday.
I've been telling all my boys that follow me about this episode. I'm super stoked for Del Monte. You're going to learn so much from him, from, like you said, the business and fitness side of things. And it's all about, you don't got to put it all under one umbrella. If you could pick one small thing from each person and then see how you could apply it, I think Del Monte's strengths are he's able to simplify what works for him and then share it with how you could use it in whatever you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll go into more of that on the Friday wrap-up, guys. So make sure you check out that show as well. Johnny, last one, social media, brother.
Yeah, guys. First and foremost, thank you for following us so far. First 100 done and dusted. The next 100 we're bringing to the table. Follow me, Johnny Stofko, on all socials. Be sure to subscribe to my new YouTube channel, Johnny Stofko. Appreciate you. All the love and support.
Cool, guys. I'm Tristan Cannell Fitness on my socials. So get involved. Info at thevisionboardpodcast.com as well, guys. Always, happy to hear from you guys. Any guest requests, feedback, anything. So send it through. We love to hear from you. But in the meantime,
to the Vision Board Podcast. Stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. Nothing comes easy these days, and you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.